CBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CB Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News, Georgia High School Shooting. I'm Michelle Franzen. Police in Georgia say a suspect is in custody after an active shooting incident at the Appalachie High School in Winder, about an hour outside of Atlanta. The Barrow County Sheriff's Office says there are casualties but gave no other specifics. A source briefed on the situation tells ABC News the incident is over and the local hospital is treating multiple gunshot wounds. The high school issued a lockdown earlier. Students were evacuated and gathered outside at the football stadium. Former FBI agent and ABC News contributor Brad Garrett says police are still going from room to room inside the school and questioning the person in custody.
They're usually lone actors that go in and you know, commit violent mayhem and either die at the scene or, in this case, obviously, or he was taken into custody.
State, local police, along with the FBI and Georgia's Bureau of Investigations on scene. This is ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. You can find it anywhere at the WGBW website, wgbw.fm.
Big Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Calls are growing for the NFL to move the Green Bay Packers game in Brazil Friday night. The air quality in Sao Paulo is bad because of raging wildfires. Also, the Supreme Court has imposed a national ban on Twitter. Wisconsin Republican State Representative John Mako also points to crime in Brazil and concerns about the country's contentious election. Thanks to new federal price caps, people on Medicare in Wisconsin can expect to save a lot of money on drug costs next year. David Bowen is with AARP Wisconsin.
Enrollees nationwide who reach the new out-of-pocket cap will see an added savings of roughly $1,500 or 56%.
Starting January 1st, out-of-pocket drug costs will be capped at $2,000 a year for people on Medicare Part D. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. U.S. Secretary of Education Miguel Cardona launched his 2024 Back to School Bus Tour in Green Bay Tuesday, visiting Jackson Elementary, then moving on to the Oneida Nation's Oneida Elementary, celebrating multicultural and bilingual programs at the schools.
Making sure that we have well-resourced schools, well-funded schools, and supported schools. Multilingualism is a part of that. And it's also embracing students' native cultures, too. We come from different parts. That's the beauty of this experiment that is the United States of America.
This year's bus tour theme is Fighting for Public Education. The Recplex at the University of Wisconsin Oshkosh is an air-inflated dome that houses a turf field used by athletic teams, clubs, students, and more for practice and recreation. However, budget shortfalls mean that facility may close in the future. Chancellor Andrew Levitt said the dome will remain open at least through this academic year while a task force examines budget issues. And that's what you need to know. I'm Lisa Hale, WGBW News.
The NFL season is now just hours away. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. The Green Bay Packers will open up the season Friday night in Brazil against the Philadelphia Eagles. Quarterback Jordan Love is ready to get to work this Friday night.
I think everybody is very hungry, and I think the message this year is for us to go out and start fast, you know, not have any late season runs, you know, start out fast and, you know, kind of put people on notice for what we're going to do this year and what we're going to be about.
Kickoff for the Packers and Eagles is after 7 p.m. on Friday. Tomorrow night, the Ravens and Chiefs get the NFL season started. The St. Louis Cardinals were able to move a game back up in the standings behind the Brewers with a 7-4 win in 12 innings last night. The game was tied at 3 going into extras before St. Louis got 3 runs in the 12th inning to win. Now Milwaukee is 10 games up on the Cubs and 11 on the Cardinals going into Wednesday night's series finale with St. Louis. And this week is the start of conference season in high school football. You can find one of nearly a dozen games right here on Civic Media this week. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cusco with Civic Media Sports.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
High-pressure system continues to hold today, giving us sunny skies and still summery highs flirting with 80 degrees. And tomorrow, a cold front drops through the state, bringing showers and maybe a thunderstorm. Either way, behind it, high temperatures fall to the mid-60s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 71 degrees.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on the talk of Green Bay, 97.9 FM and 1590 AM WGBW, and on the Civic Media app.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds, which could be life-changing. I mean, you could put that money towards concert tickets for your daughter to see that singer who sings about painful breakups. And one song will inspire your little beauty to break up with that beast she's dating, Brian. Instead, she'll date someone who's nice and worthy of her love, not someone who addresses you and your spouse as, bro. And it's all because you could save money switching at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates, not available in all states.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, coming up on Thursday, we've got a big show, including Pat and Amy telling us what's going on in Oshkosh.
And then wet your whistle to hear from Jeff Mitchell about Old Fashioned Fest.
Love it.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 till 9. The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
And good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Allball here at Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin. It's 6 past the hour of 12 noon on September 4th, 2024. We are not starting our program as per usual today to bring you special coverage, at least for a few minutes here, of a breaking news story nationally. It broke about 52 minutes ago. Here is what we know at this hour. One person is in custody and casualties have been reported at Appalachie High School in Winder, Georgia, where multiple law enforcement agencies, fire and emergency service personnel were dispatched to a reported active shooting. According to the Barrow County Sheriff's Office, they said in a statement, quote, at the time of this release, one suspect is in custody. Casualties have been reported. However, details on the number of the conditions is not available at this time. Authorities were dispatched around 10:23 Eastern Time, so just under an hour ago here, Central Time. And the Sheriff's Office says, quote, this is an ongoing situation. Several networks have broken in with special coverage. We are going to get to our regular Wednesday guest, Pat Kreitlow of Up North News Radio, and Trigby Olson, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project, in just a minute. But Mr. Zomers, if we could, many of our radio stations across Civic Media are CBS affiliates, some are ABC. We're going to take the CBS News special report, at least for a few minutes here. Again, a school shooting at this hour at Appalachie High School in Georgia. We do not know whether it's students. Want to be very careful here at the early moments of this incident, whether it's students, whether it's our faculty or teachers. Let's go to CBS News special report at this hour.
To fill in what you've been hearing from parents. You know, we don't have anybody who's willing to go live with you right now. As you can imagine, they are just trying to get to their babies and try to figure out what's going on there. But can you just fill us in of what you've heard from parents that you've talked to as they've rushed by you to get to the school?
Yeah, you know, we spoke with a grandmother who is very distraught. She was walking down the street here. Her grandson is okay, and she's so thankful that he's okay, but she said he was in the room where a classmate was shot. So she's very thankful that her grandson is doing fine, but she says, of course, mentally, this is going to be very hard and something he's not going to forget the rest of his life. We also spoke with another woman who said she was the older sister of a girl here that's 14 years old, and she was also racing down this street here to get there and pick her sister up. She said she was okay, but was completely shaken up, said she got a phone call from her crying this morning saying there's an active shooter, please come pick me up. And I think we do have some of that soundbite that we'll play for you now.
Is she okay to talk to her? Yeah, I've talked to her. She's a little nervous. They're on the football field waiting on the parents to come get them. She's very nervous.
Did she hear the
gunshot? I don't know. She didn't tell me. She just called us and said, could you hurry up and come get us? There's an active shooter here. And my first thing was to make sure she was okay. Nobody was hurt. So that's my biggest concern.
When you heard there was an active shooter?
Yeah, my heart started beating. I was actually on my way to go to work. And then I just dropped everything and I just got in the car and I left. The traffic was so bad at the front, I was in the middle of the red light and people were blowing, but there was nothing I could do. So the main thing is to make sure these kids are okay. So,
thank you so much.
You're welcome.
You have a good luck. Be safe. And you can see we did that interview as she was, you know, almost jogging down to the school. This road here, Tom Miller Road, you can see people walking down it still at this hour, trying to get here, get off work and collect their children from the high school following the shooting that took place here this morning. Again, a lot of parents have made contact with their children and learned that they're okay. But we did speak with another mom who came up to us crying. She said she couldn't get in touch with her son, who's a senior here, was asking us for information, which, of course, we're still trying to get for everybody at home as well. We know that the sheriff's office is going to be holding a press conference shortly that Adam Murphy will be covering for us, guys.
You're listening to CBS News special coverage here on a Tuesday afternoon. It is Wednesday, September 4th, 2024. Mr. Zomers, we'll take that down if we could, please. And again, welcome into the show on a tough day here. Here's what we know at this hour, this special report right now. Casualties reported at a Georgia high school. A suspect is in custody at Appalachian High School in Winder, Georgia, where multiple law enforcement agencies, fire and emergency services were dispatched just about under an hour ago, according to authorities in a statement, quote, at the time of this release, one suspect is in custody. Casualties, multiple, have been reported. However, details on the number of these casualties is not available at this time. There is a law enforcement a statement right now. Let's go to that live law enforcement at this school shooting in Georgia.
That law enforcement official will step to the microphone and really in these situations give us very clear information. We have been able to confirm through those two law enforcement sources.
Mr. Zomers, continue to watch that just for a minute. Give me the high sign when he comes to you. I want to let our listeners know again, President Joe Biden has been briefed on the reported shooting at Appalachian High School in Windsor, Georgia, according to the White House. They said in a statement that Biden was briefed by his Homeland Security advisor. The administration is going to continue to coordinate with federal, state, and local law enforcement officials in Georgia. Also know, according to CNN, at least two people now, according to CNN, have been killed at Appalachian High School in Windsor, Georgia. And that is the amount of information we know right now. Mr. Zomers will continue to monitor that. In the meantime, let's bring in Pat Kreitlow of Up North News Radio from his studios on Lake Wissota in northern Wisconsin, and Trigvi Olson, senior advisor to the Lincoln Project, joining us from our nation's capital. Gentlemen, not the kind of way we want to start the show, but Pat Kreitlow, we're here once again, not a surprise, and quite frankly, nor is unexpected.
No, it's not. It's not something that we should ever get used to, and it's not something that we should ever normalize. And if people don't like hearing the breaking news coverage of yet another school shooting, then they probably also don't like the redundancy of what I'm going to say next. Two things. One, there is no other country in the world like this that lets guns run amok.
Pat, hold that thought
way.
Just for a minute. We have a statement from law enforcement. 1 second.
Is an evil thing today. At about 9:30 this morning, we received the first call that there was an active shooter in this on this campus. We're not releasing any information as far as injuries, but we have multiple injuries. This is a very, very fluid investigation. It's very early. And I have asked the assistance of the GBI and the agencies here behind me today, and there are multiple agencies that responded this morning to help us and help the sheriff's office. We do have a suspect in custody, and we are asking for your patience as the media to please let us get the facts that we need to make sure we get this right. Again, I've asked the GBI to help us, the sheriff's office, to help us along with this. I know this is not what you want to hear, but I'm not going to answer questions after this is over with. But I wanted to give you the respect and our community respect to let them know what was going on initially. We're in the process of reunifying our students with their parents. Obviously, that's chaotic, but we want to be respectful of them and their privacy as well. I want to thank the state, the federal agencies, the local agencies that showed up today, as you can see, the multiple EMS and fire from other agencies that responded today. Again, I ask that you lift up Bexar County Schools, lift up Appalachian, lift up our agencies. This is going to take multiple days for us to get answers as to what happened and why this happened. But I wanted to give you a statement. It is our hope, in conjunction with these people behind us, that we can give you another statement around 4 o'clock, because I know you have to go back on the air. That is my hope. But I wanted to be fluid with you all, understanding that it's fluid as well with this investigation.
All right, Mr. Zomers, let's take that down if you could, please. Again, this is a continuing breaking news coverage of yet another school shooting, this time in Windsor, Georgia, at Appalachie High School in Windsor, Georgia. That was local law enforcement updating the press. Really nothing new here. We have at least 2 casualties, 2 deaths confirmed via CNN so far. Multiple sources, including that law enforcement officer there, Pat Kreitlow, saying that there are now 2 dead, 4 injured are the current numbers, and we do not know what the extent is of possibly more. Go ahead, please, your thoughts.
No, that's fine. I was just saying before that this is not something that we should normalize. This doesn't happen anyplace else, and it does not have to keep happening here. There are ways to prevent this from happening. That's a debate for another hour, not necessarily this hour, but that is the one point I wanted to make, is not to allow this just to become another day in America. We don't have to do this. The other point that should be and can't be said enough to every parent that's out there that feels the need to have firearms for hunting, for sports shooting, for self-defense, for whatever reason, forgive my language, lock them the hell up. That's it.
Yeah.
Do something that basic, and you prevent somebody who's having a very bad day from accessing them and making it a very tragic day for their community or for their family or for others. That if those things need to be said every time. Don't normalize this, and store your guns safely.
Let's bring Trigvi Olson in a couple of minutes here before the break. Trigvi, both of you are children. I have got children and nieces, but I know it's not exactly the same as having your own children. Trigvi, my heart goes out for parents, those particularly who have lost a child in the situation, and especially for those who don't know yet.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, I want to just reiterate, as a guy who has guns, Pat's point, you know, I don't understand why people wouldn't have their guns in a gun safe and, quite frankly, trigger locks on them, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, this is hunter safety 101. Like, second point is, as a gun guy, I empathize when Tim Walz talks about, you know, he's a gun guy too, and he talks about having... You can be a hunt. You can like to hunt. You can like to shoot. You can be a gun guy and not be against school shootings. In fact, everybody should be against this happening, and we should all be working for solutions to stop it from happening. And in some cases, that might mean, recognizing that if somebody's having problems, it's okay for government to come and ask them about it if they're seeking getting weaponry. Mm-hmm. The last thing is, as parents, it's an awful feeling. I remember after Uvalde dropping my fourth grade, my daughter was in fourth grade, the next day dropping her off. And I couldn't help but struggle. Because how do you go and learn when you have to worry about that and it's 24/7 everywhere and you're a kid?
Yeah. Pat, you're a parent as well. Your perspective.
Well, and a grandparent, including one who is starting his senior year. And I will tell you, the most my heart ever dropped to the pit of my stomach, we were gathered at a big place, an indoor trampoline park. All the lights went out. There was a loud noise. It turned out somebody dropped a folding chair. But in that split second, in the dark, all the worst thoughts come to your head, and they shouldn't have to. We shouldn't have to live this way.
Stay tuned. We're going to come back to discuss more with Pat Kreitlow and Trigvi Olson on the other side. Listening to breaking news coverage. Another school shooting, this time in Georgia, Windsor, Georgia, at Appalachie High School. At this hour, 2 known dead, 4 injured. Back with more on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matt Nair on Air.
The kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles west, northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898. But 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Welcome back to the Todd O'Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 20 now past the hour of 12 noon on Wednesday, September 4th, 2024. Welcome in, everyone. We will continue along with Mr. Aaron Zommer as our fine producer and engineer to monitor things developing in Georgia at this hour. Again, in case you're just joining us, about an hour ago, according to the Barrow County Sheriff's Office in Georgia at Appalachie High School there, there has been yet another school shooting at this hour. Two are known dead, four injured. Casualties are expected to go up. We don't want to speculate too much. We only know that one person is in custody, an alleged shooter. But beyond that, details are sketchy. And again, we want to be very careful here. We don't speculate too far. Our hearts and prayers and thoughts go out to all those in Georgia at this hour. We'll continue to monitor this via CBS and ABC News and bring you pertinent information as it arises. Right now, though, I want to turn a page. Again, welcome in host of Up North News Radio, Pat Kreitlow from Lake Wissota in northern Wisconsin, and the senior advisor at the Lincoln Project, our friend, Mr. Trigby Olson. Well, they're both friends from our nation's capital there.
We're all friends.
We're all friends.
We are all friends.
Yes. A tough way to start the day, guys. We'll continue to monitor this. Want to move on to kind of other maybe political news today. And Mr. Kreitlow, you said you have a little breaking news for us. Please do share.
I do not have breaking news myself. I'm sharing a new post from the Huff Post, formerly the Huffington Post, a story there that talks about Eric Hovde's investments. The headline, Eric Hovde invested millions in companies that outsourced jobs from Wisconsin. Now, at first blush, you're saying, okay, here's a mega millionaire investor. He invests in companies all the time. You know, is there really a connection? Mm. And in this case, in the Huffington Post report, it's not that there's, you know, Eric Hovde orders layoffs. Mm-hmm. It's not to that extent. But the dates in some of these are a little troubling. For example, at the end of 2008, Hovde Capital invested $15 million into NCR, a company that makes ATMs. Months later, they closed a plant in Viroqua and laid off 81 employees, moved production to a non-union state, and gave Wisconsin workers the chance to move there and earn less. There was another example here of an investment in Briggs & Stratton and how that company had also reduced its Wisconsin workforce and the impact that it had. And there's more that's listed in here as well. The campaign calls them baseless attacks. These are passive investments in publicly traded companies. Well, you know what? If so, then I think we still have all the more reason to be troubled by it, that we're simply just moving money around on, you know, a roulette wheel table and not asking some questions about, wait, if I invest in your company, what's going to happen in the jobs in my home state? And if you're not asking those questions, if you're just looking at P&L statements, well, then I really think you've identified what's wrong with that part of venture capitalism and have to ask yourself if a guy like Eric Hovde is going to ask the right questions before he votes yes or no on a bill. So that's a story that just came in that we're following today.
Great information there, Pat, and Courier Newsroom and Up North News Radio will be all over this. Again, tune in tomorrow morning, 6 until 8. And what do you make of that, Pat, as a former Democratic elected official, state senator from the Chippewa Valley, in terms of western Wisconsin, northern Wisconsin? I mean, you read off some name, Viroqua, a company there where people in Viroqua lost jobs because of Hovde. President Joe Biden is going to be right up the road from Viroqua tomorrow in Westby. I think that's a good contract.
contrast to use in this case.
It is, because, again, it's the whole notion of whether you call it venture capitalism, vulture capitalism, angel investment, hedge funds, all of these things that we've known for the longest time that while they are successful tools for investors to make money, it's the way in which they make money, often through layoffs or outsourcing or sell-offs, breaking up companies, that call into question whether that makes you the right elected official for the job. Contrast that with somebody like Tammy Baldwin, who, when a hedge fund came in like a bunch of vultures, picked apart and shut down a paper mill up in Brokaw, north of Wausau. You know, she authored legislation that made it easier, legislation that made it tougher for these vulture capitalism firms to basically conspire with each other and not have to report to the SEC about the moves that they're making that could eventually take down an American manufacturing plant. These are fair questions to ask of somebody like an Eric Hovde about what kind of capitalism do we want in America that looks out for hometown jobs and job creation, you know, moving forward.
Trevi Olson, you and I, as former Republicans, I mean, I remember back in the day working for people like Sue Ingoliter and others against Herb Kohl, the Democratic side. It was like, how do you beat this guy? I mean, everybody loves Kohl's, you know, and Kohl's is still a thing right in Wisconsin. And now you got Republicans like Eric Hovde who are taking jobs away from Wisconsinites. It's a different party.
Well, I'm tempted. Yes, it's true. I mean,
say what you're going to say. I don't care.
I just think Eric Hovde is like, he's a toast candidate. He's like toast, moldy toast. Whereas Tammy Baldwin is like a real candidate. I mean, anybody like Eric Hovde, like the guy starts his thing with where he goes and jumps in the lake in the middle of the winter. He's not really connected to the state. And, you know, whether it was an active or passive investment, I do feel bad for the people in Viroqua, which is one of the great towns in western Wisconsin. Like, anybody who lives in Viroqua and is given the opportunity to move to Tennessee and make less money,
stay in Viroqua. Enjoy life at dinner at the Driftless Cafe and coffee at Wonder State.
Right, exactly. I just think, I don't know, Eric Hovde. You're right. Comparing Eric Hovde to Susan Ingoliter or some of the other people that have run in the past, although the Republican Party hasn't really done very good in the state of Wisconsin with Senate candidates really since, well, I mean, you got Joe McCarthy.
You and got Ron Johnson.
Ron Johnson. You got Bob you got Bob Caston.
Bob
now,
Caston.
Bob's a really nice guy.
And he did start the Central American Scholarship Program.
Yeah, and he did do a lot for Fox River Valley Menasha Company and whatever. Mm-hmm. But beyond Bob Caston, like, what have they run? Susan Ingoliter was okay, but she was never going to beat Cole. You had Bob Welch. That guy really never did much for me. No. Like, he was the cranberry king. But Eric Hovde is epically bad.
Let me translate it into something we talked about on Up North News Radio this morning. You've got Kamala Harris, the vice president, making news today in New Hampshire about how she wants to increase tenfold the amount of tax incentives for people to start new small businesses.
Right.
Somewhere along the line, Democrats figured out that Republicans aren't the party of business. They're the party of big business. And that a lot of times small business actually wants something that's the opposite of what big business is getting. And the poster child for that is Governor Evers and the Main Street Bounce Back Grants. Not $3 billion to Foxconn, but 10,000 small business grants of $10,000 each in all 72 counties. It's that kind of a small hometown business focus that Republicans could have been doing all this time, but they have decided to attach themselves at the hip to, you know, to Wall Street and things like that. And suddenly you've got Democrats going, hey,
That's a great point. The last true Republican that supported small business, my former boss Scott Klug and Dale Schultz. Pat Kreitlow, Up North News Radio, every morning 6 to 8. Thank you, my friend. I appreciate you.
See you soon. Later.
Come on back. Bye. We got Trigvy Olson and the Lincoln Project. Your phone calls as well. It's the Tom Ball Show for Wednesday on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
You can always continue the conversation on social media.
Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report along with you on a Wednesday. We're talking with Curtis Meister today. He is the president of the Wisconsin Agricultural Aviation Association. He's also president of Raby Spraying Service in Plover. They serve specialty crop growers in the Central Sands, including potatoes. After flying over potato fields all summer, he gives us his bird's eye view of what he predicts this harvest to look like.
Right now, I'd say it's optimistic. I say that largely based on the weather we've had. It started out wet. We've dried out here a bit. Currently, we're in a pretty dry stage, just getting into harvest. And so they've started harvesting some red potatoes and starting to vine kill some other fields. So from the air, things are looking good. And despite all that rain early in the season, some of the sheet water has started to dry out. If this trend holds, I think we're looking at some good storage potatoes that can be harvested.
Curtis Meister is the president of Raby Spraying Service in Plover and the Wisconsin Agricultural Aviation Association. In the latest crop progress report from the U.S. Department of Agriculture, potato harvest is 34% finished in Wisconsin. Condition is at 90%, good to excellent. We'll take a look at commodity prices next.
Welcome to today's Merck Minute with special guest Dr. Tiago Tomasi, Dairy Technical Services Veterinarian at Merck Animal Health, who's here to share some exciting things happening at Merck Animal Health. Dr. Tiazzi, within the M-Power Dairy platform from Merck Animal Health, what's the productive cows pillar, and what does it mean for dairy producers?
M-Power is our comprehensive dairy portfolio that brings together Alflex identification products, SenseHub dairy monitoring, and comprehensive biopharm solutions, all through Merck Animal Health. Within the portfolio are several pillars, and one of which is productive cows, which includes solutions designed to support cows during each phase of lactation cycle so producers can improve milk quality and maximize production. Ultimately, what we are looking for here is to develop productive cows and more profitable dairies.
And that's today's Merck Minute. Learn more at mpowerdairy.com.
Wednesday from Chicago, grain markets are seeing some strength. December corn is up a penny at 410 and a quarter. November soybeans are up 2¾ cents at 1014 and three quarters. And December wheat is up 8¼ cents at 575 a bushel. The Class 3 milk contracts are over or near the $23 a hundredweight mark, but they are a little weaker today. October milk is down 6 cents at $23.19 a hundredweight. The November Class 3 milk contract is down a penny at $22.77. Don't forget that you can follow along with us around the clock at MidwestFarmReport.com. While you're there, sign up for our morning e-newsletter. I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
High pressure system continues to hold today, giving us sunny skies and still summery highs flirting with 80 degrees. And tomorrow, a cold front drops through the state, bringing showers and maybe a thunderstorm. Either way, behind it, high temperatures fall to the mid-60s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 73 degrees at our studios.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
From the lakeshore to Lake Winnebago.
Door to Fond du Lac counties.
Northeast Wisconsin is special for many different reasons. I'm Lisa Hale.
And I'm Terry Barr. Family and fun.
Safe communities and friends. We're featuring all of it as part of New Wisco Weekend, a news magazine show just for you, and highlighting what makes the Fox Valley and Green Bay area a great place to live.
Join us.
New Wisco Weekend, Saturday mornings at 8, Sundays at 11 on WGBW and WISS and the Civic Media app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Dr. Kristen Lierley joins us for a discussion on what's going on in her campaign for Congress. We also have J.R. Radcliffe with sports and weather and wine with Brittany Merlot. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Welcome back to the Town Hall Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 34 minutes now past the hour of 12 noon on Wednesday, September 4th, 2024. Trigvi Olson joins us, a former Republican like myself, a River Falls, Wisconsin native, now as a senior advisor to the Lincoln Project out in our beautiful nation's capital, Washington, D.C. Always a pleasure, Trigvi. We appreciate you taking the time. I want to remind people we are monitoring this breaking news story down in Georgia. According to multiple sources, CBS and ABC amongst them, at least four people now are believed to have been killed and approximately 30 more were injured at a shooting in Appalachian High School in Winder, Georgia. We will bring you more details at the top of the bottom of the hour. And Mr. Zomers continues to monitor that. And if something particularly pertinent is in need of being aired, we will break into regular programming and tell you. Once again, Trigvi Olson joins us. Trigvi, always a pleasure. You and I have been around in politics a while, and we've seen some stuff. You more than I, having worked on presidential campaigns and other things. This one, and again, Trigvi, let me just say, because my granddad was a farmer, and he used to say, Todd, remember when you point the finger at somebody, there's always three pointing back at you. So let me just say, I am not the perfect person. I don't profess to be. I am not the best Christian out there. I continue to try and do my best, but I admit my faults when and where. It's the hypocrisy, Trigvi, that usually gets me in politics. People pretend to be somebody, and then they're different behind closed doors or in private. So here now, a beautiful story from the Daily Beast. I love these kind of stories. We go down to beautiful North Carolina. Republican North Carolina gubernatorial candidate and current lieutenant governor Mark Robinson bought, quote, hundreds, unquote, of bootleg porn videos and went to a porn shop nearly every day of the week in the 90s and early 2000s, according to a new report. Yes, Robinson has run on his evangelical Christian views. He's actually like a pastor, or one of those wannabe pastors, an ultra-mega politician, and has been strongly endorsed, not just endorsed, strongly endorsed by Donald Trump. Five men who worked at or patronized a pair of 24-hour video pornography stores in Greensboro called Gents Video and News. I like the fact they have news in there. Gents Video and News on I-40 and Video and News told the North Carolina Assembly newspaper that Robinson would frequently drop in after finishing work at the nearby pizza shop. Louise Money, a former employee, told the outlet that Robinson would often purchase two or more previews, which consisted of a viewing in a private booth over the course of a night. The future lieutenant governor also bought, quote, yes, hundreds of bootleg porn. He couldn't even buy the real thing. Bootleg porn videos that Money sold him on the side. He told the Raleigh station WRAL that Robinson's taste lay in, quote, just straight American porn, unquote. Went on to say, and I don't trust anybody that doesn't like good old American porn. He says, so no, he shouldn't be judged. He should be judged on everything else, but he should not be judged for this. A Donald Trump acolyte and espoused evangelical Christian, Robinson has professed hardline stances on everything from abortion to members of the LGBTQ+ community, whom he once referred to as quote unquote filth. Called me filth. Robinson has also railed against the practice of teaching public school students about gender identities and sexual orientation, calling books that discuss the subject, quote, borderline child pornography, unquote. If elected, he'd be the state's first black governor. Trigvi, what do you make of this? It's rich, isn't it?
It is unbelievable. And it's compounded by the fact that Project 2025, literally on page 5, I think it's page 5, goes after it. Basically, they want to criminalize distribution of pornography, watching pornography, producing all of that. And the reality is, you know, I'm not a huge porn guy, although I will tell you that it was a big moment in my life when we were in seventh grade and this kid, Sam Beeman, we got to his locker and he'd stole his old man wasn't very nice to him. So he stole all his Playboys and put them in his locker. Oh my God. It was like Nirvana. And you know what? It took the administration of our junior high about 30 seconds to figure out what was going on. We thought we were really smart.
Not so much. Yeah.
But here's the thing. I want to, you know, Tim Walz is onto something, right? Like, they're weird.
Right.
People should just mind their own damn business, not be pointing fingers at each other. But here's the even more important point with what Project 2025 and these guys want to do. Like, they claim to be constitutionalists. I work for so many of these people, and Stuart Stevens talks about this, who claim to carry the Constitution around in their pocket.
Right.
Right? As the father of two daughters, I have a very different perspective. I have an evolved perspective from the time I was a seventh grade boy to today about pornography. Right. But that said, the Constitution, it's well traveled, and I don't want other people, I don't want government telling me what to do, and government shouldn't be used as a conservative to tell other people what to do as long as it's within the confines of the law.
Right.
And so this guy really isn't a conservative or a constitutional conservative. He's a big government guy who wants to control big government. And that's the thing, whether it's the Dobbs decision or this, they want government for power. And I will tell you, my Badger Boy State buddy, colleague, I'm not using buddy, who is running for president of the United States, Scott Walker. He's busy touting this Reagan movie that's out. I went to see it this weekend.
Did you
Scott,
really?
You'd be happy to know I took your recommendation and I went to see it. Now, Todd, you may know this, but listeners may not. Like, I'm a big audiobook guy and I go through these phases. I'm a little, I don't know what my psychological disorder is, but I get a little obsessive on topics. Obsessive. And Reagan, I was kind of obsessive about. So I was listening to every Reagan biography I could. Now, it's a pretty fair characterization. But what is not accurate is what the Scott Walkers are trying to do, comparing Ronald Reagan to Donald Trump.
Yeah.
And this kind of issue is the exact kind of issue where Ronald Reagan would be like, Constitution says it's okay. Like. Yeah.
Well, and the, right? I mean, the closing
credit. Marriage equality was something Ronald Reagan supported.
Right.
And Barry Goldwater, for God's sakes. There's nothing conservative about these people. And they're a bunch of hypocrites, too, because they go to the porn shops like Mark Robinson, or they forget that Donald Trump literally was on the cover of Playboy not once but twice.
And was having sex with porn stars. Like Stormy Daniels.
And, yes. And was having, yes. Yes.
But
and
yet, I guess but it yet was they're a little selling... bit
like her, for her, it was like playing Mario Brothers based on what I've read. But.
And they're selling t-shirts.
Small hands.
Small, very small hands. They're selling t-shirts down in Milwaukee at the RNC that says, Jesus and Trump are my saviors. I mean, come on.
Yes.
I mean, come right. on.
He opened the first strip club inside a casino.
Yeah. Here's a couple of more money lines, in my opinion, on this story about Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson wanting to be the MAGA new governor of North Carolina. The story in the Daily Beast says, quote, Robinson, the lieutenant governor wants to be governor, who had been lieutenant governor for more than a year at one point, recognized this former porn owner, last name Money, and called out his name. The men, who had not seen each other for about a decade, spoke for about 20 minutes, Money recalled. He said, quote, I was like, dude, I'm so proud of you, man, he said, adding that he jokingly scolded Robinson for $25 he still owed him for a bootleg porn tape he'd fronted him years ago. Later that day, Money posted a photo to social media of the two men posing together at Planet Fitness. Quote, I disagree politically with this guy. However, he's always been cool. That's our lieutenant governor, who still owes me money, LOL.
You know what's really funny? Well, I'll tell it if you want. I can tell, and listeners probably will think this is funny. And like Gen X ones can appreciate it probably. Mm. I can tell you about that there was that porn shop down on East Washington. I don't know if it's still there.
Oh, Red Letter News.
Red Letter News. Is it still there?
No, it's something else now, isn't it? I think.
Okay, I did go there once when I was working for – I might have been working for the governor at the time. Okay.
Were you making a run for him or what?
No. So my buddy Scoop, who was on the show.
Yes, Scoop.
Was getting married. He got married right after college, right? So Scoop's getting married. We're going to have a weekend playing golf and, you know, guy weekend, bachelor party. And these knucklehead buddies of mine are like, we need to get a blow up
doll.
Right? And so they say to me, they're like, hey, there's that place we always drive by going to your house. Why don't you just swing by and pick one up? Okay. So I'm maybe like 24 or 25 at the time. Never been in one. Mm. I'm like, okay. So I'm leaving for the weekend. It's like Thursday. And I stop there and I'm like, I don't park in the parking lot out of fear somebody will recognize my car. I park like a block away. And I go walking over and I try and see if they have a back door because I really thought I shouldn't be going in the front door because that would look odd because it's right on East Watch.
Right.
And I'm thinking, oh, what am I going to encounter that's going to be like some sleazy dude? And I have no idea what I'm looking for other than I know what we want and what I want. And I'm a single guy at the time.
Right.
And I go walking in there and thank God there's no one. Well, actually there are two kind of seedy people in there, but behind the counter is the most attractive University of Wisconsin girl working in the place.
Right.
And I'm like, yeah, she's probably making good money. And she looks at me and she gets this funny grin on her face and she's like, can I help you? And I'm like, I almost turned and ran out the door. But then I'm like, yeah, I'm looking for an inflatable doll for my buddy's bachelor party. And she smiles and starts flirting with me and says, I know all the guys say that. I know it's exactly perfect for you.
No.
And she goes, over wherever they had them. And she pulls out this one that's like, $300. It's like, and I'm like, no, I just need something simple.
It's a gag
and
gift.
And she's like, yeah, I'm like, it's a gag gift. And she's like, yeah, all the boys say that. And I'm like, stop, please. I'm really embarrassed about being here to get this. And then she's like, she just starts laughing at me. It was so funny. And I was thinking to myself, okay, now I'm about to ask out a girl on a date who works at Red Letter News, but I'm afraid to. Yeah, I chickened out. I literally gave her the $10 that it took for the cheapest version they had and ran out the door.
Oh my gosh, Trigby. That is a great story. That is, and see, right there. I mean, I don't know what red-blooded American dude hasn't at least ventured into a porn shop on account.
Into a porn star.
I've never been in a porn star. No,
that's former presidents of the United States. Todd, yes, not most
exactly. But the point is that you tell about, you talk about it. You're yourself. We all admit, you know, goofy things we've done in our lives, and you don't try to be holier than thou, and you don't judge other people, and you certainly don't try to use government to get in people's bedrooms.
And you know what? Anybody that would judge me on that story, you know, I've kind of reached the age.
You don't need them.
Who cares?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And and in hindsight, I should have had the stones to actually say to her, hey, can we get coffee outside of work sometime? But I did.
Here we are, dearly beloved, Trigby and his bride, met at Red Letter News. Back after this, don't go anywhere on the Todd Hallball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Are you seeking an amazing atmosphere where you can enjoy well-executed comfort food for lunch or dinner? Maybe even a cold craft beer, signature cocktail, or glass of wine after a hard day's work? Look no further than Heights Pub & Parlor in downtown Green Bay. Three levels of gorgeous architecture with top-notch friendly service, mouth-watering food, and a kitchen open Monday through Saturday from 11 to 9. You'll find any excuse to come back. Visit weekdays from 11 to 10 and open till 11 Fridays and Saturdays. Check us out on Facebook or online at heightsgb.com.
Out here in the middle of all these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. And sometimes, that's how it feels when you're going through tough times. Trouble sleeping, your mind racing. So what do? We get help. There are people in our community who are here for us. Sometimes just talking to someone can make all the difference in the world. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
This is the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Truth wherever it may lead, even to the porn store, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. That was fun. That was a fun story, Trigby. Well done. The senior advisor to the Lincoln Project, Trigby Olson, on the show telling stories we never thought we'd tell, but here we are. That's the great part about this segment, Trigby. It's why I love having you on, because that story right there, if you missed it, dial up in the podcast. These are the kind of conversations real Wisconsinites have over a beer at a bar somewhere 100%. In Wisconsin. And that's why we need to have more of these real conversations where we can laugh at ourselves and all of our intrinsic behavior over the years. So it's fantastic.
Well, that is the thing. And I will tell you one of the reasons why I say this over and over again. My favorite hour professionally every week is coming on the show with you and talking Wisconsin and being connected to home. Yeah. And it's why my favorite place is the River of the St. Croix, like the bridge over the St. Croix River. The reality is, though, that is the kind of story that you can tell in Wisconsin in a bar. It's mm-hmm. the kind of story we all tell with each other. And to be honest, when my Wisconsin buddies and I all were out in Vegas, that story came up. I mean, we would sit and laugh about it, you know, yeah. all these years later. But the reality is in D.C. and you know, they're not telling these stories.
Right. They try to be somebody that they're not.
Exactly.
They're trying to
and
be.
And they're all, yeah.
Right? They're trying to be.
Yeah, they're trying to be.
Like, as you say so many times. Andrew off the text line in Maine says, Trigby should have invited her to the wedding.
So, I should have asked her to go to the wedding. Oh, my God. I should have gone back there and said, wow, that turned out fantastic. To be honest, you know, it's really funny. We tied it to the back. This is the funniest piece. We tied it to the back of the golf cart. It lasted about 30 seconds. It was the cheapest.
El Cheapo.
Chinese made. Blow up.
That's fantastic.
Toy.
All right, let's turn a page for a second, Trigby. You knew the McCain family, or know the McCain family pretty well. You helped run John McCain's 2008 presidential campaign. One of his sons, John McCain, was on Jake Tapper's program, an exclusive interview on CNN yesterday. I want to play a couple of minutes and get this reaction. He has had a distinguished career in the military, like his father, has been an independent, has recently changed his political. He's in a state where you have to declare, has changed it to Democratic. And has decided to endorse Kamala Harris. I thought it was a groundbreaking interview. You can see all of it at CNN.com. We're going to play the first couple of minutes for you. Here is Jake Tapper along with John McCain yesterday on CNN.
Or Jim McCain.
I'm sorry, Jim McCain. Pardon
it's Jimmy.
Me. Jimmy, sorry about that.
So, I mean, this has been, as you note, Donald Trump has said a lot of things that have offended people in the veterans community. It may have started actually when he said that your dad wasn't a war hero because he was captured. That was back in 2015. And then there are all the other things that he has said and done, including what his former Marine General and Chief of Staff John Kelly said, that he said behind closed doors, and suckers, losers, et cetera. You were a political independent for years, and you just recently registered as a Democrat. Why the switch, and how much of you moving not into the Republican Party, but starting as an independent and now moving to the Democratic Party. How much of that is because of Trump and his effect on the Republican Party and his attitude towards veterans?
I mean, to begin, you know, what Trump said about my father is irrehensible. I mean, it's I've never forgotten it. And, you know, to remind everyone, you know, John McCain was my father as well. And, you know, he was the guy I went to when I skinned my knee, you know. So to hear those things said about him, I can never forgive. You know, the one thing about John McCain is that he cared about his country and he lived his life that way. So as we moved on, and I, you know, I was gone for a year, so I didn't have a chance to change. But as soon as I was back, I see, you know, I care about my family. I care about equal rights of everyone in this country. I care about all this. And, you know, as much as I stayed as an independent, I decided that, you know, it was time to move on and do what I believe in. You know, the fact of the matter that he said it constantly is country first. You have to think about your country first. However that is, care about your country. Care about how making it better, not being divided, but being together as one to continue to be the greatest country in the world.
That is Jimmy McCain, one of the sons of the late great Senator John McCain, whom Trigvi worked for. A new Trigvi, your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, you know, country first, cause greater than selves. Those were the things that really were deeply embedded within McCain. And remember, John McCain's father and grandfather were admirals, right?
Right.
Like, there's a long history of service in the McCain family. I will tell you, it says a lot about the Republican Party that when John McCain was deciding whether to be a Republican or a Democrat, he chose to be a Republican in that Reagan era. And now his son, who has a similar background and similar politics, is choosing to be a Democrat. And the one thing in the Reagan movie is, you know, they have a scene, and it's a little bit of a cheesy take, but one of the things that Reagan talks about is, you know, I didn't leave the Democratic Party, the Democratic Party left me. That's the way I feel about the Republican Party, because when it comes to the foundational things that I believe make me conservative or made me a conservative in the past, government staying out of my life, support for Main Street business, government staying out of the life of my daughters, a strong U.S. military that understands the value of alliances and that there are evil actors and Russia's actions are evil. That's the Democratic Party today, far more than it is the Republican Party. Now, are there still some Republicans who uphold that? Yes. But there's more and more. Those are values of the Democratic Party. And we saw that at the convention, Todd. Yeah,
we saw it firsthand. I could not agree with everything. I will second everything. Everything that you are absolutely talking about there.
Todd, we're almost out of time.
Yes, here,
and we haven't talked about the most important news. I'm going to have to come back on Friday.
You are going to come back on Friday, but you got 2 minutes. It's all yours. One minute.
Did you see that the Packers had to fly through the Bermuda Triangle to get to Brazil?
I did not know that.
Disheartening. Yeah, they did. Big weekend. We got a new kicker who seems to have a big leg, which I don't know what that does us on kickoffs. I'm interested with the new kickoff rule. My daughters, strangely enough, I asked them if they're going to watch the Packer game with me on Friday night.
Yeah.
They said they were going to, and then they said, but you're watching on Thursday, the game on Thursday, right? The kickoff to the season. I'm like, I got a hockey game. They're like, you can't go to your hockey game. I'm like, why? They're like, Taylor Swift is playing.
And the opener from the NFL?
And can you believe that they literally framed it up? Taylor Swift is playing? Like, okay,
wow.
That's jumping the shark, Todd.
Trigvi Olsen, come on back on Friday for a special Packer kickoff from Brazil. I'm getting a Brazilian wax just to celebrate.
More information than I needed, Todd, but I'll mind my own damn business.
All right. Thank you, Trigvi Olsen. See you on Friday. Come on back. Hour two. Yeah. Brewer tickets on the other side.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I'm back on the home court in Green Bay and welcome the hilarious comedian and Wisconsin native Mary Mack. And from HBO's hit show Hacks, actress Rose Abdu joins the show.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
From the lakeshore to Lake Winnebago.
Door to Fond du Lac counties.
Northeast Wisconsin is special for many different reasons. I'm Lisa Hale.
And I'm Terry Barr. Family and fun.
Safe communities and friends. We're featuring all of it as part of New Wisco Weekend, a news magazine show just for you, and highlighting what makes the Fox Valley and Green Bay area a great place to live.
Join us.
New Wisco Weekend, Saturday mornings at 8, Sundays at 11 on WGBW and WISS and the Civic Media app.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.